I'd like to ask everybody to please stand. We're going to begin our service this morning on All Saints Day with some special music. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Welcome. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church, to our celebration service. If you're visiting with us today, you're our special guest. And ask that as the, Randy, I think I'm just a little bit hot, sir. As the attendance pads are passed down, ask that you fill that out. And members and guests alike, fill that out. So we'll have a record of your attendance, please. Just a few announcements before we get started and continue on with our praise and worship. ACCDC is presenting A Night Off Broadway. There's going to be musical sounds. There's going to be a silent auction. There's going to be great food. And as always, there's going to be those ACCDC kids. I'm telling you, when I have a bad day, I come and I sit in middle court, and you'd be surprised how many friends I make each and every day. They're now starting to warm up to me a little bit, so I can't pass through here without getting an entourage to follow me from door to door. So come and be a part of that. Our church's conference is held annually. It's going to be on November the 20th at 6 p.m. It'll be in the sanctuary. Our district superintendent will be here, and he will be officiating over that. Please come. It's very, very important that everybody have some input into that if you desire. And it will be. It's a very important event in our life of our church. This Wednesday night is Blackened Cajun Chicken and Turkey Wraps. Great stuff. We've had it, I think, one time before, and it's absolutely fabulous. It really is. So come. You can't get a turkey wrap or a Blackened Cajun Chicken Wrap for $8 and go back for more. You can't do it anywhere in town. And, of course, we have the kids' meals there. After that, we're going to have the life application class, and the president of the Arkansas Bar Association, I think you all know him, Tony Hilliard, is going to be speaking on life application law, on wills and trusts and things of that nature. Extremely important, very interesting. Tony is very, very knowledgeable of those fields. Sunday, December 3rd, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Got to come here. That's when we're going to get together as a church. We're going to have our children's Asbury Jingle Jubilee, and we're going to have a wonderful wonderful meal that evening. Kids are going to be performing. They're going to be ringing. They're going to be singing. There's going to be a sing-along. There's going to be a visit from Santa, and you see everything up there. It's going to be the kickoff for our Advent season as a family. So do come, make plans, put it on your calendar for 6:30 that evening. A lot of other things going on in the life of the church. Make sure that you look at the back of the bulletin and see everything that is going on. Now, I invite you to stand, if you will, and find somebody that you don't know. Introduce yourself and pass the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are y'all awake? Y'all don't seem awake. Did y'all eat too many pancakes with syrup? Woo-hoo. Yeah, they're all like dazed. They are. Well, this morning is a very special Sunday in the life of the church. It is called All Saints Sunday. And it is where we recognize and we remember those people in our lives who have been very special to us. And I brought a picture of somebody who is very special to me that I wanted to show you. Who do you think that is? Who do you think it is? It is my grandmother. This is my mom's mom, and her name was Mary Catherine Gibson. And the reason why she was very important is to me because I was very close to her. And then during the summer, I would go, and I thought I was a bigwig because I was like in fourth and fifth grade, and I would get on the Southwest airplane by myself, and I'd sit on the aisle, and I'd get a Diet Coke, and I thought, life is good. And so I would go and visit with her every summer, and that was our thing. And she taught me so many things. The best part was that she was a lifelong Methodist. And so she and my grandfather taught me a lot about the Methodist Church and just how life was in general. She taught me a lot. Now, she didn't teach me how to keep on lipstick and that, you know, I have to have my hair done and my makeup done every time I left the house. I think that missed his generation. But for the most part, she is a very important saint in my life. And so I want you to think about those people who are special to you, Who are those people that have taught you a lot, who love you, who are there for you? Now, remember, you've got saints all over this church. You have people here who love and care for you every day. You have people at your house that love and care for you every day. You have grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and adopted moms and dads and adopted aunts, everybody to come and to be a saint in your life. Now, think about this, too. You can be a saint. Did you know that? When you grow up, you can be a saint. And you can help people out and teach them and to love them. So think about that as we go through today. And we think about those. And think about those saints every day. It doesn't necessarily just have to be on All Saints Sunday. So think about those special people in your life who love you and take care of you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for today. And we thank you for all the saints in our lives, those people who love us and take care of us and teach us all the good ways of life. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Lord, how you loved me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. More than I asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. How sweet and the sound, once lost, I'm now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Hey! Lord, how you loved me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. More than I'm asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. And at the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Sweet and the sound, once lost, I'm now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me. How sweet the sound, once lost, I'm now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me. Sweet the sound, once lost, I'm now found. Heaven, you came down, and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace. I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. And with your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace. Thank you. marvelous. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful.
I'd like to ask you, please, to turn to the back of the bulletin, because I think it's very important. As you know, it's my practice that we read these names, and I want you to follow along and read them with me, because that just sweetens, as just like an aroma, going into the throne room of God. Emily Evans, Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Bob Howeth, Beth Culverson, Mildred Bradley, Bob McInturf, and Reverend Wayne Jarvis. These have asked us, their family, to pray for them, their extended family, and I think that's very important. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, keeping these mindful on our hearts this morning, as well as throughout the week as you have your private time, your personal time with God, that you remember these that have asked for prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your saints here on earth are gathered this morning, along with all the saints in heaven, to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, all praise and honor to you and the Lamb." We worship and exalt you today with song and with the reading and teaching of your word. Age to age, you are the same now and forever. Lord, we lift a world to you that needs your presence and your touch. There is so much hate and pain and suffering in it that it hurts every day we listen to the news. Send us as your messengers to places where your word needs to be heard and planted. We also ask that you send people to the doors of this church to experience the love that is here and feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. May we welcome all who pass through these doors. And on this special Sunday, we remember the saints who have passed before us and who have joined in that never-ending hymn of praise. We ask for you to be our honored guest here this morning as we build a throne of praise upon which you may be seated. Accept our act of worship this morning, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As your ushers are coming forward, I do want to remind you that if you're going to turn in your covenant cards and your pledge cards for this next year, this next calendar year, it's very, very important as we now start compiling those for our ministry involvement and the budgets are being put together, that today is the last day to turn those in. There will be some additional ones back here on the back table that if you need that at the end of the service, do stop by. You can fill that out, and we can get those. You can just drop it into the office. I've kept the doors open, so if anybody wants to just drop it on the assistance desk there at the front, you may do so. Let's bless this morning's offering. Gracious God, you bless us in so many ways. Some of those ways we see, but we have to realize that most we do not. We're so joyful this morning in being able to return a portion to you for the furthering of the kingdom. Bless these tithes and gifts that they may be multiplied to extend your kingdom here on earth until you come again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet by and by,
sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful
All Saints Sunday. We're going to go to a portion of the Bible this morning that may leave you scratching your head just a little bit and wonder how in the world Joshua was considered a saint. Joshua was a saint, and he was a saint to the nation of Israel. And I'm going to show you why this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua if you have them with you. We're going to be reading in chapter 3, and we're going to be reading only two verses this morning, verses 6 and 7. I pray that these words, they find a place in your heart, and that they bless you as we read them this morning. Joshua 3, verses 6 and 7. To the priest Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know I will be with you as I was with Moses." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me if you would, please. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the saints that you have placed not only in your word, but the saints that you have placed in our lives. We ask that you be pleased with the teaching of your word this morning, and with all of the saints in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Life's a journey, isn't it? And I'll just leave the stool up there. But we're a product of that journey, if you really think about it. We're also a product of that environment that we pass through in our journey. We have our ups and we have our downs, but we have to learn with it, learn to deal with all of those based on what we have experienced or not experienced in our past. Experience is a great teacher, but on this special All Saints Sunday, we also recognize that we are a product of the people that you have placed, that God has placed in our lives. They may be family members, or they may be people outside of our family. Well, I want to tell you about one person that I considered a saint in my life and impacted my life tremendously. His name was Mike Dwyer. Mike grew up in Maryland and was the son of the first female legislator in that state. Mike graduated high school. He did what a lot of kids in that area do, a lot of young men. He joined the Navy. And he was in boot camp in the middle of the summer, and it was hot. And him and his buddy were doing what everybody else that goes through boot camp is. They were raking rocks, and they were sweating. And his buddy kind of elbowed Mike and said, "Look, there's a line going into that building over there that's got air conditioning in it. Let's go in there. So they hid their rakes, and they went and stood in line. When they got inside, there was a gentleman in there, handed them a test, and said, sit down over there and take that test. That test was for the prep school for the Naval Academy. He passed that test, which made him eventually a graduate of Annapolis, class of 1957, all for just trying to get out of the heat. Isn't that a great story? Well, Mike decided after graduation that he would join a new branch of military. Back then was the Air Force, believe it or not. Just came into being from the Army Air Corps to the Air Force. And Mike rose through the ranks, and he actually retired at the rank of colonel. During that time period, he went to school, and he graduated with, get this, a master's degree in aeronautical engineering, and then went on to teach, yes, statistics at West Point Military Academy. Well, at the age of 55, Mike was diagnosed with diabetes, type 2, so he started running. And shortly after that, I went to work for Mike at UAMS Medical Center and Campus Operations Division as his chief physical officer. And immediately we became great friends. We used to run 5K races and 10K races, and Mike and I even finished a marathon together. He ran in it the year before, but he didn't finish. He made it to about mile 22 when he was pulled. That marathon almost killed him. He spent a month in a hospital in Memphis. Next year he came out, he met me at mile 22, he finished that marathon. The doctor told him after that, no more running longer than 10 miles. So what did we do? We started doing triathlons. Made sense, right? We would travel in Tennessee and Mississippi and Louisiana, Oklahoma, Missouri, and here in Arkansas, and we'd compete every month in a triathlon, at least one. He probably finished last in every one of those triathlons, but he finished. Well, something that I didn't know is Mike also had a heart valve flutter. And those of you that are clinicians know that's not a good thing. Well, in Forest City in 1999, I did not get to go to the Mighty Mike Triathlon that weekend, but he did. And he came out of the water after the swim, and I can just picture everything because we practiced it. Mike pushed his bicycle out of the transition area, and he threw his leg over, and he stood there, and then he just fell over dead. His heart valve gave way. Mike returned, his body returned back to Little Rock in grand style because Marge, his wife, put a bicycle carrier on top of the hearse, and they put his bicycle on top of the hearse, and that's how he returned back to Little Rock. He was a good friend. He was a mentor. He was a boss. He was a confidant, and he was a training partner. But to me, Mike was a saint. And he's one of those people that first comes to mind whenever we start talking about saints. One of the things I remember Mike taught me, he said that walls are put in our path to see just how bad we want something, not to stop us. Think about that. Well, there were two men in the nation of Israel that were considered, I guess, saints to them, and they were Joshua and a little-known man by the name of Caleb, C-A-L-E-B. If you remember, those two were sent out as part of a scout contingency. Moses sent 12 men out into the land of Canaan to scout out and to see what was out there, one person from every tribe. Well, they came back, and they said, they're giants there. And I know we look like grasshoppers to them because we felt like grasshoppers to them. We can't go in there. They'll kill us all. Caleb jumped up and said, that land was promised to us by God. It's ours. Let's go take it right now. Joshua said, I agree. Those 10 other men that went on that scouting party never saw that land again. Matter of fact, even Moses was taken up to the top of Mount Nebo. That's in Israel, not by Moralton. And he was taken up, God took him up there, and he said, "This is the land which I have promised to the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There it is. I will let you see it, but you cannot enter in." It's said that Moses is buried on top of Mount Nebo, but nobody knows where his grave is. It's yet to be found. I'm not sure if you consider Joshua a saint, but let me just tell you a few ways that he overcame adversity and greatly impacted the lives of those people, thereby becoming a saint to that nation. When the nation came upon the Jordan River, it was at flood stage. Flood stage. It was over its banks. Now, I'm guessing that they saw this as their wall because there's no way that they could get across. But Joshua remembered what God had said to him, and he told the priests to walk into the water while they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When they did, a miraculous thing happened. Well, let's take a look at where the nation was just for a moment. The whole nation had just spent the last 40 years wandering in the desert and in the wilderness in the central part, the central and the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula, commonly called the wilderness. All of the people that had been in captivity in Egypt, that all of them had died in the wilderness. All of the people that were left had been born in the wilderness, save two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Remember? Well, the waters were at flood stage, and when the priest walked into the riverbed, the scriptures tell us that the waters stopped flowing on the upriver side. So much so that they heaped up, and the Bible says they heaped up. The waters on the downstream side continued to flow. And the nation walked through that river in the bottom, completely walked through it. Now, Joshua had also received others' instructions. He said and told the people, "I want one person from each tribe to go to the center of the riverbed where the Ark of the Covenant and the priests are standing and pick up a stone," not a rock, a stone. Probably just barely they could handle that and carried it out. They did that just exactly as Joshua had commanded before the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant came up out of the river. When it was done, the waters that had heaped up on the upstream side, the scriptures say, they started flowing again. When the nation got to Gilgal, and for those of you that have been here for some time, I preached an entire sermon on Gilgal back in 2015. It's quite a neat place. Joshua instructed an altar to be built with those 12 stones there at Gilgal. The nation observed Passover, and on that night, the manna from heaven stopped that had been going on for 40 years because they were in the land of milk and honey. God had provided for them, and now they were there. They had arrived. What they had done is overcome a huge obstacle. But could this nation have seen this obstacle in the same way that the nation of old had seen the Red Sea? I mean, the old nation, if you read in Exodus, you can read it where they got up to the Red Sea and they were there. And then the Egyptian army was coming behind them. And they started to groan. "Whoa, why did we leave? You led us out here to die. Why wouldn't you just, let's just go back to Egypt where we had plenty of meat in the pots to eat and places over our heads where we could sleep." All of a sudden, they forgot all about the slavery and the captivity. Well, what the new nation did is to allow their saint to lead them through what first appeared to be insurmountable, but over which
they gained victory.
Rocks were taken from the center of the river in accordance with the instruction that God had given to Joshua. Why rocks? Why not fish, maybe, that they could eat that night? Or something else? Why rocks? I don't get it. They were carried out of the riverbed and then so far as their first night's camp spot there at Gilgal. Then Joshua took the stones and he built an altar to God to honor him in bringing him through the wilderness, then through the river, and then through whatever else was going to be lying ahead of him. Joshua used this place as his future base camp after all his successful campaigns in Canaan, that he would go out and he would always return back to Gilgal to rest and revitalize his armies. It's a short story, but what can we take from all of this? Have you ever been at a place or stood at a place and seemed like the worries in your life were just insurmountable? That how are you going to get around them? How are you going to get over them? You said to yourself, I can't get around them, can't get under them, can't go through them. Well, everybody here should be shaking their head upside down because we've all been there. And if you haven't, brace yourself because you're going to get there eventually. God brought or will bring us to that point. But he's not just going to stop and say, you're on your own now. There's a lot of sayings that you can hear out there, but God brings us to those points, and then God brings us through those points. So when you've gone through adversity that at first you thought, no way I'm getting out of this, you're standing in the middle of the river, when you get through it, what do you take from it? We all gain valuable experience from going through life's trials, which is, in essence, God's plan for us. I guarantee, no matter what you're going through, there is someone that has already been through that, that is in your life already, or God will place in your life in front of you. If we allow God to take us through these life events and gain nothing from it, we would be like the nation of Israel who could have crossed the Jordan River and never picked up a single stone with which to build that altar. We need to pick up, as we're going through these trials, our own nuggets of wisdom, or rocks of wisdom, if you will, so that when others are going through a similar trial, we can pull them out and help that person cross through their river. Then we can take those, once they make it through, and we can build an altar of praise with our nuggets of wisdom to return to every time we need to revitalize or we need to help some other individual out with the rivers that they're going through. The most important thing is to remember where those nuggets came from. Our life experiences that God allowed us to go through, to gain that knowledge in order to help someone else. Now, remembering those saints that God placed in our life, just how wise were they? Think about it. They didn't get that way by osmosis. They didn't get that way just automatically. God took them through their own Jordan rivers and told them to take some valuable rocks from that experience so they could glorify God by helping others with those rocks of wisdom. That's what makes them saints in our lives and what makes it so meaningful for God to have placed them in our lives. I've accepted a lot of wisdom from saints throughout my life. And you know, I've got a little saying, I always count it a free education to spend time with people who are a lot more intelligent than I am. Trust me, I get free education every day because there's a lot of people out there. God places those people in my life and in your life for just that purpose, stuff that we're going through, or for that free education. Today, Let's remember those saints for how they've impacted us and the gifts they gave us, and pass those gifts along to others. If we all do that, we will become the saints in their lives. And that's what the Christian family is all about, isn't it? Let's love one another with the love of Christ. Let's not just pass the peace of Christ on Sunday mornings to each other. Let's just don't do it one time a week. Let's pass the peace of Christ to everyone. We need to leave this place and pass that peace, and especially to all who God has placed in our life because they need it, and you've been through what they're going through. Pass those nuggets of wisdom on to them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you take us through rivers. Lord, not lead us to them, but take us through them to the other side. Help us to learn as we go through these trials, and that way we can help others as they go through that same river or one just like it. Help us to realize that we are your children, and you will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to recognize a service of thanksgiving and remembrance, I ask you to turn to your bulletin that we'll be doing our word and table from our bulletin this morning because it's of this special day. And I'll give you a moment to turn to that. Please follow along with me in this responsive reading. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And renew our communion with all your saints, especially those we name before you. Mac John Carter Sr., Butch Martindale Jr., Eileen Fleury, Bill Myers, Miles King, Vonnie Myers, Sid Stevens. Lord, we thank you for these thy servants, for their living and dying in the faith. And since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in mystery to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the Methodist Church, we observe an open table. That means that this table is not United Methodist Church. It is God's table. All are welcome, regardless of your faith. There is a basket that is placed here. If you'd like to contribute to our community fund, this is for the people that come to this church that are in search of help in times of need. Also, as you come forward this morning, if you would if you're in need of gluten-free, I'm a little tongue-tied this morning, I apologize. Please let the person know that's serving that. We will. At the prayer rail, you're also invited to light a candle in memory of one of the saints that have passed before us. And the table is right over here, that there is a lighter provided for you.
Thank you.
pour out our praise to you, only God. Oh, pour out our praise to you, only God. To you, only. You only.
I'd like to invite everyone to join in our prayer of thanksgiving in your bulletin, please. We now, the people of this congregation, grateful for our heritage, aware of the sacrifices of our mothers and fathers in the faith, and confessing that apart from us, their work cannot be made perfect, dedicate ourselves anew to the worship and service of Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Seeing that table over there just full of candles, there's a lot of saints in this church. I hope this has been a moving experience for you this morning. If there is anyone here that desires to join this church by transfer of membership, by your profession of faith, or just by accepting Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time for you to come forward. And as always, our prayer rails are open for you to come forward and pray if you'd like to do that. I will be here at the front if you'd like for somebody to pray with you. I'll be more than honored to pray with you. Or just grab a friend's hand and say, come pray with me as well. As we all stand and sing, please.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before. before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
It is so good to be here and worship with you today. It's been fantastic. I see some new faces and I see some old friends. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, please, I'll be back here in the back. Come introduce yourself to me because I didn't get a chance to get around, shake hands. Have you had a good service this morning? It's been good. And the Holy Spirit has been here. So I ask that you receive this blessing, please. Father, thank you for this morning's service. And we know you were here this morning without a shadow of a doubt in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, we honor you today. And with all of the saints in heaven, Father, go with us this week. Watch over us, protect us, put your love inside of us so that we can share it through to all we come in contact with. Ask that you watch over this your church until we can all come together again this next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin and penalty, at the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free. Sin and penalty, at the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace, with your grace on top of grace, with your grace on top of grace.